The radical left will stop at nothing to find a way to end life in the womb. They're now using the mail to ship abortion pills straight into homes across America, even in states where abortion is illegal. It's not healthcare, and it must be stopped. You can take action today. When you support AFA Action, you'll help us hold Big Pharma accountable and defend life. As our thanks, we'll send you the Christian Handbook for Civic Engagement. Visit afaaction.net to give your urgent gift today.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for joining us here on AFR, and we're here every day, but we're here with this show Monday through Friday from 10 o'clock, 10:05 technically, to 11:30, and we talk to you about the current events going on in our country and in our world, and hopefully we try to give you a biblical worldview on such issues as they apply. Not everything is, not everything is like that way, if you understand what I'm saying. All right, so joining me in studio today is Wesley. I'm adjusting my chair Wildman.
Listen,
did you ever get it adjusted?
I do understand what you're saying. I just don't understand why my chair's not working.
Well, okay? I'm sitting here watching you fix your chair. Are you going to be able to get it worked out?
I'm about to break it.
Oh, well.
Out of frustration.
You know, frustration and anger, they can turn into sin.
They can.
You understand?
It costs you too, right?
Yeah, it can cost you.
So save it for something other than a chair.
Yes, yeah, something more important, like, I don't know, college football or an error that cost you a youth baseball league game. Yeah. Things that really matter
things
in life.
Really add
that's
up.
What you
that's
need
right.
to save your anger for.
That's what we'll do.
All right, Chris Woodward's here with the chair adjusted.
Yes, I have it on the highest setting because I need it.
And in studio with us is Tony Battagliano. Tony, good morning, brother.
Good
Tony.
Morning, good morning. It could be righteous anger that Wesley had at his chair, that which is,
I'll be honest with you, I don't think it is. I appreciate you, Tony. Tony's a good friend.
I'm trying to play cover for you.
And Tony
just
does a good job.
Don't flip this table.
I think righteous anger in adjusting chair is a stretch, Tony. I would agree with
but
you
I,
there.
I
okay, now hold
that.
On. Now we got another fella here joining us here, Ray Pritchard from Florida. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, good morning, Tim. Hello from sunny Central Florida.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to get
Thanks,
tired of you saying that every time you're on for us during the winter months.
You know what? What could happen if we get tired of it and you know that we don't want to hear it, you could just set up your office outside. Your studio there.
And then really right. flaunt
and then
it,
not
huh?
even say anything. Just right. let the background say.
Let right. The sun and the wind. And yeah, it's pretty nice here right now.
Especially at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Absolutely. Well, we're hanging on here. It's 64 here in Tupelo, and so much of the South still hanging on to a little bit of warm weather before we hit December, January, and February. Well, a lot to talk about today on the program. Ray, give us a good word from the Bible, if you would. Start us.
Well, here we are 1 week before Thanksgiving. And for some people, a wonderful time of the year. I got a lot of friends, Tim, who are coming into Thanksgiving with mixed feelings. It's been a hard year, particularly on the health front for so many people I know. I'm thinking about what the Bible says. Paul says, I've learned to have a lot. I've learned to have a little. I'm okay either way. I have learned to be content, whatever my circumstances. I think the most important part of that verse, that, by the way, is Philippians chapter 4, is I have learned. Contentment is, as the Puritan writer Jeremy Burroughs put it, it's the rare jewel of Christian contentment. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6 that godliness with contentment is great gain. It's a good thing to be godly, but it's something much better if, as you are growing in the Lord, God has given you the grace of contentment, which I simply define as being glad with where you are and what you are and with what God has given you. So, Tim, a little story. We have a young grandson who is 3 years old. 3 going on 30, I think. His name is Noah. He is full of life. He has great vocabulary, talks all the time. So he was over at our house when we were still in Kansas. Oh, it was about 2 weeks ago. He was over at our house, and Marlene had made a cake for for Knox and Violet and Noah. And it was time to serve the cake. And Marlene cut a piece of the cake, and it was just, you know, normal size, gave it to Noah, and he wrinkled up his nose and said, "Oh, I wanted a big piece." And Marlene smiled and looked at him and said, "Noah, this is a big piece." He looked at it, wrinkled up his nose, and then he said, "Okay, I guess I'll call it a big piece." And then he ate it. You know what? There's a tremendous lesson there. So much of contentment is our perspective, is the way we look at life. Well, God bless a three-year-old boy who's learned to look at something that may not be exactly what he wanted and said, "Okay, I'm going to call it a big piece anyway." Reminds me of what Solomon said in Proverbs 17:1, "Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife." That little comparison there's just inviting us to understand, no matter where you are, as the saying goes, well, things could be worse. It's better to live in quietness and peace, even though you don't have a great feast, than to be in a house with a lot of money and a big meal and people arguing around the Thanksgiving table. So let me say this, and then I'll finish. Charles Spurgeon said, "If you are not content with what you have, you wouldn't be content if it were doubled." Oh, how true that is. Contentment is a choice. It's a constant moment-by-moment choice to believe that God loves us, that he has our best interests at heart, that we have in this moment exactly what he wants us to have. When we need more, whatever that more is, when we need more, he'll give it to us. But my friends, as we come up to Thanksgiving, we have every reason to praise and be thankful to God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So if you're breathing today, my friends, breathe out a prayer of thanksgiving to God. Contentment is a great blessing, and life is miserable if you don't have it, and much better if you do. So when you look at what is given you, let's call it a big piece and be content and give thanks to God.
Amen. 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 As I said, growing up in the Methodist Church, may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen.
And in this case, to raise
devotion
there. What? By the way, if somebody wanted to read that themselves, where were you getting this from? I know there's a lot of verses in the Bible about what you did.
That Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and then 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, and then Proverbs 17, verse 1.
Okay. Amen, brother. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio, where we're content.
That's right.
Until we're not.
Until your chair doesn't work.
Until your chair doesn't work. Oh, me. The human condition, right?
Now, when your grandson gets to be an adult, he'll tell people that piece is a small piece of cake, right? Just to make yourself feel better. That's where things switch up. No, this
that's
is a
right.
small piece, not a big piece.
It's all a matter of perspective, right?
All a matter of perspective, amen. All right, so much to get to. First thing I wanted to talk about, we've had some of our websites down here at American Family Association, and we learned, Tony, that this is a big deal. Now, I think our websites are back up now, but as of an hour ago, we weren't. And there's a big internet issue going on around the globe right now. Is
well,
that right?
It actually has, as of now, has been resolved. So Cloudflare is a net service provider globally. They have some big names that they host for.
Right.
So X, ChatGPT, Canva, Spotify. A lot of big services were down this morning as of around 6:30. Central time. They went down, so they had an issue on their internal services. They said it was caused by a massive CPU spike in their internal services.
Oh, that's happened
to
me. Yeah. That's happened to me, brother.
For something you ate.
When you give my kids too much sugar, they get a massive CPU spike. Yeah. No, so basically something went wrong in their internal systems. They said it was suspicious. I don't know what that means. Hopefully their report will We'll give more information about it. But yeah, we were down. All of our external sites and our apps were down up until shortly, recently, I guess.
Dad noticed right away.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the first phone.
Click, click, click. I'm watching 24/7 on this. Let me ask you this. I don't want to get too wonky here because we will bore people and they would change the channel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we need to keep this.
I'll be your meter here. I'll let you know.
Please let me know if you start dozing off on our
watch Wesley's Tony and I, while I'm talking.
Tony and I can talk high tech.
This is your meter. Go.
We can talk high tech all day long.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. There are about three or four big companies like Cloudflare and what's the Amazon?
Yeah, AWS. It's Amazon's.
They went down a couple months ago.
Yeah, that was a big deal too. It took down a lot of the East Coast with them.
So, okay, I'm asking you to speculate right here.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so could in this kind of situation, would you be? It could be a mouse got in the. In the computer system room, but I'm talking. I'm just kidding. But because we live in an interconnected world, could let's say bad actors in a foreign country like China, for example, who just wants to see how this might interrupt with American business and commerce, could they? Could somebody like that be behind this? Russia be behind this?
I mean, so here's the thing. With the incidents like these, what happened with Amazon about a month ago, and now you have Cloudflare. Cloudflare, they account for about 20% of web traffic goes through Cloudflare service.
In the world?
In the world, yeah.
Globally. Wow.
So here's the thing. With these companies, anytime something like this happens, there's always going to be some internal issue that happened, some update that, caused
They're not going to come out and say, hey, we were it's our fault, we were violated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That would probably cause undue panic.
Right,
but
right.
An unusual spike, if you know a little bit about computers, that's generally because someone is pushing the button and trying to accelerate and test the system to see what would happen.
Okay.
And obviously... they found out what happens if you press the gas a little bit on Cloudflare services. It can cause disruptions. So I don't think it. To me, I'm put.
Yeah, you're speculating. Speculation.
Yeah, it's not beyond the realm of possibility to think that maybe someone like a China or a Russia or Iran, a bad actor, might just be poking and prodding. I mean, for this to happen a month after what happened to Amazon.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. Maybe.
Right.
Maybe there are multiple mice in the system, like you said, but it may be a little bit too much of a.
Well, you've piqued my interest. I actually got
so
a question.
You didn't fall asleep.
His eyes were open the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, these days you don't even have to worry about like a government, a foreign government. There's even like rogue actors within, and then you have like anarchists. Mm-hmm. You've got people out there that are like radical environmentalists that want to blow up pipelines. Mm-hmm. It could be any number of people, and not just a foreign government that could be behind something like this. Or something.
But you would have to have an ulterior motive, seems to me. You don't just sit around and hire people to do this kind of thing if they were hired. They either want ransom money, like we see going on with companies a lot of times. Mm-hmm. They get hacked, they get attacked, their data is exposed, and then the these bad actors, they want, are you going to pay us $100,000 to get your data back and that kind of thing. So that kind of thing goes on. Go ahead.
So how much of this type of work, dirty work, could be the future of war. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cyber war.
It's definitely
from country to country, not necessarily like.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, this is definitely a front for future warfare, and there's a front for what I consider kind of a Cold War even now. So to Chris's point, If an attack is linked back to a bad actor group, it might be some rogue group. Oftentimes, that rogue group is sponsored by a state, but it's a proxy so that you can't draw a direct connection back to Russia or to China or to Iran. So it is definitely a new front for warfare. I mean, can you imagine just how connected everything is with the internet? What type of chaos you could create by attacking a nation's internet connection.
Yeah, commerce goes down. Banking,
yeah.
In particular, banking goes.
Right.
Let's say banking goes down, for 5 days, in the United States because of a hit like this.
Right.
It's just that's a real possibility.
It is.
Yeah, when something like this happens, what happened today and what happened with the Amazon servers, you go, they are vulnerable. They may get it fixed pretty quick, but they've proven that they are vulnerable.
Right.
They are vulnerable. What's the other? You said Amazon and Cloudflare. What's the other company or two that
Microsoft's Azure services. They do some of the same, provide the same services. Those are the
big
major
boys.
Those are the major players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Tony, next Monday, you're going to be here in my seat because I think your dad's going to be here too, right?
Yeah, he's going to be.
Tony's dad, Ed Battagliano, will be here to oversee how you're doing.
Yes. pull the plug if it gets too bad.
I think on Tuesday, it's just going to be you. Ray, you going to be here next Tuesday?
Yeah, I'm here Monday, Tuesday, okay. And Wednesday.
So it'll be Ray.
And it'll be a thinner
Tony.
Crowd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm saying you and I will be out of town.
That's right. Yep.
So I wanted people to know Tony's going to be hosting. Next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Wednesday, too, or no?
Yeah.
Yeah, Wednesday, too. So what I'm saying to you, Tony, in front of all our listeners is I just want you to understand we built a great thing here with
That's
today's
right.
issues, and we're handing it to you.
And we're whole two times, three times?
With 3 days, and we just don't need to blow it.
We don't want to come back with less listeners. That's
less,
the bottom
less
line.
Less listeners, yeah.
Yeah. I wanted our listeners to know you're going to be hosting – Monday again with your dad, Tuesday with Ray, and in all seriousness, we're looking forward to having you fill in for us and handle the show.
Well,
okay,
excited to do it. Thank
all
you.
All right, that's Tony Battagliano. Yes, he's Ed Battagliano's only son,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to be here. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Wesley, Chris, and Ray. All right, Chris, what's your first story there?
Well, this is something that is happening today, and you can read about it on our website, AFN.net.
Which is back up.
Yes, which is back up, thanks to the hard work many people that are much more smarter than me, if that's grammatically
smarter. The right word is smarterer.
There, I have a BA in communication.
Right.
All right, so the Saudi Crown Prince is going to get a warm embrace today from President Trump and U.S. businesses. They're going to have a gathering today at the White House. They're going to discuss business, trade, issues in the Middle East there. President Trump has even offered to sell Saudi Arabia some of our military equipment, and I can say that based on some audio here from the POTUS himself. Clip 8.
Are you planning to sell F-35s to Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
And also, are you looking at doing a similar security agreement like you did with
her? Yeah, no, I am planning on doing that. Yeah.
You're going to sell F-35s?
You've been a great ally. They've got to like us very much. Look at the Iran situation, what we did in terms of obliterating, we obliterated their nuclear capability. Yeah, I will say that we will be doing that. We'll be selling F-35s. Yeah.
Now, guys, some people are concerned about this because you've got somebody from Saudi Arabia at the White House, and we're talking about trade and whatnot. But the alternative there is not getting along and risking some sort of conflict and them not being on our side or an ally.
Ray, comment on this, if you would. I got some thoughts myself, but go ahead.
Look, are there radical elements in Saudi Arabia? Absolutely. Do they do everything to push Christian worship underground and out of sight? Absolutely. Is it a Muslim nation? Yes, all of that is true. It's also true that the royal house of Saudi Arabia is moderate in Middle East terms. They've been friendly with the U.S., and I think behind closed doors, they've been friendly and helpful to the nation of Israel. So this isn't, in my opinion, Tim, it's not a bad thing
right.
for President Trump to do. They have been friendly to us, and we ought to try to help our friends in the Middle East and try to get some more if we can.
Yeah, I agree with that. You people would say, why would you sell fighter jets to Saudi Arabia? Well, Saudi Arabia has not been at war or in any kind of conflict that I can remember with Israel.
Any of our allies,
Israel. Yes. So Israel, as you say, and Egypt Egypt, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia are the countries, the Arab countries that surround Israel, except for on the north, you got Lebanon and Syria. And we're trying to build a good relationship with a new Syrian guy. So, you know, keep peace in the region. You're not going to change these people's religion, okay? Mm-hmm. And they do have radical factions. This is where bin Laden grew up, you know. Wahhabism, is that what it's called? In the branch of Islam, Ray, Wahhabism, that's kind of radical over there.
Yes, right.
Saudi Arabia. So, but the Saudis, they like money. They like oil. I'm talking about the royal family. They like the good life. Okay, they don't want to get in any war with Israel, the Saudi Arabia. It serves them no purpose. They're not radicalized like that. As a royal family, a kingdom, if you will. Also, you have the Sunni Shia situation. Pardon me. You have the Sunni Shia situation. So, the Arabs in they're Sunni. Okay. Think of this like Protestant Catholic, if you would. The Arabs that surround Israel in that part of the world, they are what you call Sunni branch, Muslims. The Shia would be like the Persians, like in Iran, for example, and they don't like each other. Mm-hmm. Worse than Catholics and Protestants. They don't like each other. They think each other are a cult. Right? Correct me if I'm wrong here.
That's right. There's been animosity between the Sunnis and the Shias, right, especially from Shias to the Sunnis. Because what? The Sunni Muslims is about, what, 80%?
Yeah, yeah.
And Shias about 15%. Yeah. So if you're Shia, you're already outnumbered. And this goes back to an ancient debate. What? 1,500 years mm-hmm. old or 1,400 mm-hmm. years old, which branch is the true descendants or should be the true descendants of Muhammad, right? The Sunnis, that branch, they won out, and the Shias have not forgotten it for all of these years.
So here's my bottom line about this strategically, militarily. President Trump saying he's going to sell fighter jets to Saudi Arabia really is more a check against Iran than it is against Israel, than it is a threat to Israel. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that best explains it. Go ahead.
I looked it up a minute ago. Saudi Arabia has been involved in a couple of conflicts against Russia, but they were decades ago.
Russia?
Not Russia. It's Israel. I'm so sorry.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, it is a big difference. I'll see
myself.
Sound
like me trying to comment on the foreign affairs.
I'll see myself out. Saudi Arabia was involved in two conflicts, the 1948 Arab-Israeli War and the 1973 Yom Kippur War, which was 52 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a long time since they've had any kind of military conflict. As I say, the Saudi royal family, they like money. They like people buying oil from them.
They sure do.
And they like the good life. Mm-hmm. So
they're getting a red carpet treatment right now as we speak.
Oh, yeah, very literally.
Literally. There's red carpet there for them to walk on.
Yeah. Now, it's always funny to me, Ray, when you get these leaders from around the world who kiss each other.
Oh, yeah.
On the left cheek and the right cheek.
Right.
And then the Western leaders, a lot of them, they don't go for that.
There's a big culture.
I don't think President Trump's going to be kissing anybody.
That's why Paul said greet each other with a holy kiss.
That's right. I don't think President Trump follows that tradition.
No, he's not going to do that. You know, he's going to shake your hand maybe, but maybe. I don't know. Do they do high fives when they greet each other over there?
High fives.
Huh? I don't know if they do.
Maybe in a comedy skit, but nothing.
But anyway. All right, so President Trump is hosting the, what's his name, the royal prince?
Come back after the break, and I'll let you know.
Mohammed bin Salama.
There you go.
Wesley, I don't know if
you got... No, not Salama. That was Salomon.
That was a Mississippi...
Solomon.
You need to stop right there, I think.
Some people say salmon.
Wesley doing... You guys...
It's just...
Listen.
We're going to work this out over the break.
I got Mohammed right.
You did get Mohammed right.
You did.
I give you that. Just that you guys are doing a Mississippi take on a name you can't pronounce very well.
That's right.
And it makes us look bad.
It does.
You know what I'm saying? To the rest of the country.
I can agree with that.
and they hear you do butchering names.
Well, look
like
at this one. Look at this name.
Just say, I don't know.
Look at this name.
All right, we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. What?
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, I'm Tim with Wesley and Chris and Ray. And joining us now is Dr. Ian Day. He is the Chief Medical Officer for MediShare. And you hear them advertised here and promoted on American Family Radio often, and we've done this for years and years. And Dr. Day joins us. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, Tim, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
Where do you live?
I live in Cocoa, Florida.
Oh, you're
Central Florida.
Like Cocoa Beach?
Very close to that, and near the headquarters for MediShare, which is in Melbourne, Florida.
Okay, you're not too far. Ray Pritchard's on the he's one of our co-hosts today. He's down there, and you're on the West Coast, though, aren't you, Ray?
That's right, Hudson, Florida.
Yeah,
you're on the West Coast. Yeah, I'm on the East Coast, yeah. So east of Orlando. If people are not familiar with Florida, Cocoa and Melbourne areas east of Orlando.
Yeah, are you a surfer? Are you?
No, I'm not a surfer.
Oh, dude. You need to get
dude,
out there.
That's good.
Yeah, huh?
Dude.
But I've seen a lot of shark bites in New Smyrna Beach on surfers.
You got MediShare for that?
Chris, see what you did there. All right, let's talk about MediShare because I wanted to let people know from you because what's your role there with MediShare?
Oh, I'm the Chief Medical Officer for MediShare. And so in general, I provide leadership for clinical operations and health and wellness, give oversight to clinical initiatives, healthcare education, medicine programs, health coaching with regard to diet, exercise, weight loss.
Okay.
And we all come alongside during healthcare journeys of our members, whether they're hospitalized, new illnesses, cancers, and I help to give all oversight to these clinical initiatives.
I got you. So tell our listeners who maybe don't know, maybe they're new listeners. I know we have a lot of new listeners in the Des Moines, Iowa area and other places we are new on the air. Tell our listeners exactly what MediShare is and what you guys do.
Oh, thanks for that opportunity. Sometimes people hear MediShare and they hear Christian Care Ministry, so maybe it might be helpful to talk about both. Christian Care Ministry is a not-for-profit 501c3 organization that administers the MediShare program. Now, what is the program? So the MediShare program is an accredited healthcare sharing ministry. The MediShare program is a membership, a community of believers that enables members to share in other members' medical bills according to the guidelines voted on by the members. And the purpose of MediShare is to bring Christians together to share God's blessings and to share in each other's burdens. Members share in each other's eligible medical bills, that is, bills from doctors, hospitals, operations, treatments, etc. But we also share in the spiritual burdens that often arise in the healthcare journey. Staff come alongside members in prayer with every call, and staff come along members with coaching and education. And with these calls, hundreds of thousands of prayers go out every year. It's really a fantastic thing. And it's important to know that the MediShare program is built on a foundation of like ideals agreed upon by the members. So the bottom line, there's peace of mind knowing the people sharing your contributions are not using your money for things that conflict with your faith. In other words, there's peace of mind participating in God-honoring healthcare.
How do you differ from insurance, medical insurance?
Well, the healthcare sharing ministry, what we do is a bill comes in for a member's medical expense, and we look at the guidelines that were voted on and created by the membership and see if that member's bills are shareable. And if so, the members, through their individual accounts, share in that medical expense, and it works. So MediShare has a proven track record. For over 30 years, the MediShare community has shared in every eligible medical bill as determined by the actual members in their guidelines.
You mean, okay, now so sharing, for example, you probably can't smoke, you can't drink, you can't cuss. Am I right? I was kidding.
Yeah, that's correct.
I was kidding about the cussing part. I was right. But in other words, you can't have a lifestyle that leads to health problems that are avoidable. And so that to be eligible to be a part of MediShare, right?
That's right. That's so important, and that also a distinction from insurance is that all adult members must attest to a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Profess to the statement of faith, even to order even to qualify for membership.
Gotcha.
So, our members don't share in things that arise out of a non-biblical lifestyle. For example, gender reassignment operations.
Right.
If you happen to get in a drunk driver accident, the membership doesn't share in those expenses. Is if you're using illegal drugs and end up hospitalized,
right.
We don't share in abortions.
Gotcha. Hey, one other thing. Let me ask you this about. Okay, so you let's say I am a member of MediShare, and I show up at the hospital because my son broke his arm. Okay, is the hospital when you tell them they're going to say, well, show us your insurance card or what kind of insurance do you have? Are they going to look at you funny when you say I have MediShare and I share our bills? Are they going to know about this? Or are they going to be accepting of this?
MediShare has been around for so long. Usually hospitals recognize the card.
Right.
So like with insurance, you have a card. Well, you go to a provider, like for example, either an office or a hospital or this, what the situation you described was an emergency. You show your MediShare card, and on the back side of the card, it shows the provider, the hospital, you know, how to electronically file the bill.
Okay, gotcha. Well, tell our listeners what they need to do now if they're interested in your ministry / service how they can learn more and join.
Sure. So it's really easy. It's MediShare.com. And on that first page there's a frequently asked questions, an opportunity to learn more right on that first page there. And as soon as you start entering the queries there, you'll be hooked up with a live person or some other assistance to guide you through the process and learning more about MediShare. It's all right there on the online form.
But it will be a live person, right?
Live person, and we've sometimes brought in technologies.
Okay,
to help out as well. Mm-hmm.
Most of our listeners like to talk to a real person. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, and that's available. Yep.
Okay, because you get lost in that for this tap one, you know, for Hungarian tap three. And you know what I'm saying.
If you need a live person, we have a live person available
gotcha.
To you from our contact center.
Awesome. Hey, by the way, so have you been an emergency room doctor or something? Because you mentioned you've seen people with shark bites down there.
That's right. That was in New Smyrna Beach. It's the shark bite capital of the United States, New Smyrna Beach, Florida. I used to work in that hospital. I'm a hospitalist. That's the type of practice I have.
Okay. Well, you're not going to be invited to be a part of their welcoming convention business bureau there, since you called it the shark bite.
You're going to watch Shark Week with the rest of us.
Yeah. New Smyrna.
Well, they're famous for that. Or maybe it's infamous, but they're well known for that.
Yeah. If you go to New Smyrna Beach, you want to hold it to ankle high.
That's right. That's right.
If you're going to go walking on the beach, I'm sure it's a beautiful beach, but you just don't want to go wading out there too far. Yeah. All right.
I'm a family physician by training and hospitalist by the type of practice, hospital-based medicine. A
hospitalist. Okay. All right. Well, Dr. Ian Day has been our guest. Dr. I-A-N, that's his first name, Day. And we appreciate you being on with us, brother. And you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and may you have good health. Okay.
Amen.
God bless you, Tim, and thank you, and God bless all the listeners.
Okay, thank you. You ever been bit by a shark, Wesley?
I have not been bitten by a shark, only in my worst dreams.
Oh my goodness! I looked up the stats on this place.
New Smyrna Beach?
Yes. According to the internet, something called the International Shark Attack File has recorded over 300 shark bites in New Smyrna Beach since the 1980s, making it the site of more bites than anywhere in the U.S. The high number of bites is due to a perfect storm of conditions, including murky water, abundant bait fish, and a high number of people in the water, especially surfers seeking consistent waves. Most bites are considered minor. I don't know who considers a shark bite to be minor. With the sharks mistaking humans for...
It's minor unless it happens to you.
Right.
That's it.
That's right.
Yeah, you ever been bit by a shark, Ray?
Oh, no.
Okay.
In where we are around here, alligators are
higher risk.
They're higher priority.
Or iguanas.
Iguana. I hate it.
But
iguanas, they can't take off a digit, can they?
No, but just from an injury from an animal, you're more likely to have a fallen iguana.
Oh, then you are an eagle.
Yeah, it's possible that you're walking along and all of a sudden a great big lizard hits you.
This is going to take over part of the identity of today's issues, the fallen iguanas.
Well, we want to make sure we help people safe.
That's right.
Today's
safe.
We had MediShare, and now we're having...
So one other thing about that is you showed me pictures of where your new residence is down there in Florida, and Florida does have alligators. I mean, they do have alligators. And you said that you were told there was an alligator in a pond near you there or something?
You know, this property, Word of Life, is about 180 or 190 or 200 acres, something like that. But there's water everywhere. And the fish and wildlife people here say there are over 200 alligators, maybe 250, on the property, including, I'm pointing.
Right, I know.
Just
a couple hundred yards?
Oh, no, much closer than that.
Wow.
Maybe 15 yards away. There's a little lagoon, and there's alligators out there. Haven't seen any yet, but some of our grandkids are coming in on Wednesday to spend a few days with us, and we're going to go out at night with flashlights.
Alligators lurk.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
They lurk. And so I told you, you need to keep your little dog.
Yes. Keep Sadie.
Keep her away from just wandering down there.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Listen, Sadie.
On a leash.
Sadie would be a real fine snack for an alligator.
I know.
And she not know. She wouldn't know how dangerous that animal was. So
They snatch. You do read about them snatching dogs and such. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of snacks, have you had alligator? Has anybody?
Very good.
It's good. It's very
really
good.
I really enjoy alligator.
It's like the texture of steak, but it tastes like chicken. No joke.
It tastes like chicken, what everybody says.
I have a policy, and it's a personal one. You know, I don't. Anything that can kill me, you know what I'm saying, with a bite, I typically don't want to eat them.
Unless it's fried.
Because there's karma there.
Yeah,
in the world.
Unless
you know
it's fried.
Unless it's fried.
Unless it's fried. If it's fried, it's going to be.
You can fry anything and you'll try it.
You can fry ice cream.
They do it little alligator bites, right?
Fry Oreos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, alligators. Alligator. I've been to the Everglades and down around Miami. You go out about half an hour from Miami to the Everglades and get in one of those boats. I did that. We did that a couple of years ago. Now that's a sightseeing adventure. You're not at risk, okay, unless you fall out of the boat.
Keep your hands. You know? Keep your hands inside.
Yeah, well, that's what the guide says. You know, it's one of those airboats.
Yeah. I've done that.
You've done that? Yeah, one of those airboats like Gentle Ben.
Oh, yeah, and you're out there. You are out there.
You're out there in the wild, and these guides know exactly where to go to see these monster gators in the wild.
Or crocodiles.
Mm-mm. I couldn't tell the difference, but anyway. So you're in this little boat. Now, if that boat did go, you know, something happened, you would be in trouble.
You know, you know what they say here in Florida, and this is what they truly say. If you want to know if there's like alligators in a pond or a pool of water, stick your hand in the water, pull it out. If your hand is wet, there's alligators there. So
they're everywhere.
If the water's wet, you got alligators somewhere.
Yeah. So the University of Florida called the gators for a very good reason.
Right. For a very good reason.
All right. Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on American
Just
Family.
Be a blessing to our listeners.
Just want to keep people safe.
Watch out for the gators.
Sharks and alligators.
And iguanas.
Stay away. And iguanas. All right, Chris, what's your next story?
Speaking of keeping people safe, the Trump administration, to their credit, you know, oftentimes the president or his administration will kind of give a passing nod to something and move on. But this administration really seems concerned about the safety and health of Christians in Nigeria. It's been a topic of concern for theirs for weeks now. And today, UN Ambassador Mike Waltz is going to be giving some reaction, some speeches there at the UN.
Who is?
Michael Waltz, our U.S. Ambassador to the UN.
Okay.
He's going to be talking about the persecution that Christians are facing in Nigeria. And to help them, I'm not sure why, but to help them is entertainer Nicki Minaj to bring awareness to this issue. And so I've got some comments here from a couple of
different people. Who is she for those baby boomers who have no clue?
She is a singer/rapper. And this is not the first time the administration has gotten a pop culture person to raise awareness to stuff. For example, during his previous term in office, President Trump had Kim Kardashian talk about the Armenian genocide. So now they're using Nicki Minaj to bring
awareness
to Nigeria.
Now, let me just say this. People who don't know, this singer/rapper is a big celebrity. Our listeners may not know who she is, probably don't, but she is a big entertainer known around the world. So she, for some reason, to her credit, has developed an interest. I don't know if there's a family connection or what, because she's from the Caribbean. I think she's from Trinidad. Isn't that in the Caribbean?
That's right, Trinidad.
Okay, so maybe she has, now she is black, person, so maybe she has a family connection to Nigeria.
Could be.
I don't know. So what exactly the connection is, but anyway, she's bringing, again, to her credit, and then now to President Trump's bringing attention, international attention, to what is happening in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Nigeria is the largest populated country in Africa. Ray, can you tell us, maybe in a nutshell, I know you've talked about this before on this program, and you know, these Christians, there's a lot of Christians in Nigeria, but tell our listeners what the situation is and why the Trump administration and this singer are trying to bring more attention internationally to the plight of those people.
Well, number one, Mr. Trump is not just right, he's 100% right that Christians in Nigeria, especially in the northern portions of Nigeria, they're under attack. They are being hunted. Churches are being destroyed. Pastors are being kidnapped. They're being attacked. They're being beaten. Many cases, they're being burned. Whole families are being killed. Whatever you think you've read, it's actually worse on the ground in Nigeria. And the best way to think about Nigeria is geographically. The southern part of Nigeria is heavily Christian, heavily Christian. The northern part of Nigeria is heavily Muslim. And so much of the trouble is happening in that central region where it's neither 100% Christian or 100% Muslim. Places like the Plateau State, Jos, Nigeria. I was there visiting with my wife, Marlene, and I were there a number of years ago visiting a great mission station there in Josh. But it was dangerous enough 25 years ago. I would not feel safe going there today. Christians are in that central region, Tim, of Nigeria. That's where the killing is the worst. And the government says they're trying to crack down on it, but in too many cases, they are just turning a blind eye. And the people on the ground, the Muslim radicals, they know they can get away with it because the government either can't or won't stop it.
Is this the group known as Boko Haram, or is this a different branch? Boko Haram, I'm talking about these radical Islamic groups that commit acts of violence and terror. They have all kind of names, like Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram. I mentioned that name. That's in Africa. It just seems like it's always the radical Islamic jihadists that are creating trouble for everybody.
Well, Boko Haram is very active in Nigeria, and they are behind a great... I mean, this is a radical Muslim group. They're active in Nigeria. They're active in Kenya. They're active in Uganda. That's just three countries that come to mind. And these are the folks who are kidnapping these young girls.
They want to impose Sharia law on everybody.
Yes, thank you.
They want to make the Christians bow the knee to Allah and convert, right? Either you convert or we cut your head off. I mean, this is the type of mentality we're talking about, right?
These are not people that you negotiate with. These are the people who say you convert or you die. In many cases, Christians say, we will not bow the knee.
Right.
And they are shot on the spot.
Well, President Trump even suggested sending U.S. troops over there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to do that, but that's what he had suggested at one point about how the Christians were being persecuted, and that with a capital P, in the country of Nigeria. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Did you have a soundbite about that, Chris, or
I do have sound from somebody talking about the U.S. partnering with Nicki Minaj about this situation. It's an analyst by the name of Miriam Waba. She was on Fox.
Miriam, however she
might pronounce it.
Picking on you.
Oh, I got you.
Sorry,
got you. A person whose last name is Waba is talking about this situation. Clip 10.
We're seeing the president really spotlight an issue that's been going on for decades now, the targeting of Christians, the persecution of Christians in Nigeria and really Africa at large. What's happening in Nigeria is particularly interesting because the persecution falls into two main categories in my eyes. You're seeing the classic Islamist that's talking about Boko Haram, ISIS, the Islamic State. And what's more interesting, what we're seeing the president and Ambassador Mike Waltz highlight is these Fulani herder militias that are targeting Christian farmer. We're seeing these Fulani herders militize, create militaries to attack Christians for their faith.
Yeah, okay. Well, next story.
All right. One other thing that's on our website now, and we're going to be following up with this afternoon. John Riley's already given us a story that's already aired on the radio and will continue to air. Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, is applauding the UN for adopting President Trump's Gaza peace plan yesterday. Hamas is rejecting this, saying we didn't agree to this. But long story short, the resolution passed the UN Security Council yesterday.
Good.
This is the thing that basically tries to seek some peace between Israel and Hamas and end the war that started when Hamas committed a terrorist attack against Israel back in October 7th of 2023.
Well, so far, the Israeli-Hamas conflict war has, you know, the ceasefire's held.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good news. Wesley, I don't know if we have time for this, and you didn't know I was going to ask you for this, but you follow the, you've been following the internal back and forth in the conservative podcast movement about between Tucker Carlson. Is it Tucker Carlson and Candace Owen?
Yeah, they would be the leader on one side.
Okay, but they're at odds with a whole lot of other in the MAGA / conservative movement.
Yeah, Mark
right?
Dice would be in that group as well.
You mean with Tucker Carlson, Candace Owen?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They think Charlie Kirk was assassinated by Israel?
Mark doesn't think that, but yeah, Candace has said that many
times. She did a podcast last night about that very thing.
Yeah, she's also inconsistent because her first position was that the FBI killed Charlie, and then she changed it to Israel, and then she went back. So she's not really.
Why is she doing this?
Oh, I think she's doing it for attention, or.
Because I used to like her.
Yeah.
Candace Owen, but now that just seems to be.
Well, and
it seems to be irresponsible.
Yeah, it's certainly irresponsible from a journalist standpoint. And you do, over time, begin to develop a reputation where you start losing your broader audience. But she has been able to hold on to a handful of people that are more conspiratorial by nature. And she's feeding on that. And she's getting a lot of attention because of it. I do believe somewhere deep down inside she does believe of the deep state of the deep state having some connection, and you know,
I've read she's got to have evidence. Yeah, I want to pick this up a little when we come back because I think this is important because I know a lot of our listeners are familiar with the names I've just mentioned. Sure. Mm-hmm. Now our listeners are more radio people, not necessarily podcast people, although we do have podcasts ourselves here. Mm-hmm. The influence of some of these names I've mentioned, particularly Tucker Carlson, has been enormous in the podcast world.
Yeah.
Especially since he left Fox News about 2 years ago. You remember that? Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a short time out right here and be back with more of this conversation. Chris, thank you for your contributions.
Thank you.
So Ray, Wesley, and Tim, that's me, I'm speaking in third person. We'll be back with Steve Paisley Jordahl in a moment. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.